was hypothetical on the surface. Of course Daria was coming. No way in hell would the Royal Chief of Security leave any member of the court unattended in foreign lands, much less the Crown Princess. If she wasn't on her way, she would be shortly.
"She'll be here," Colvin confirmed quietly.
His tone betrayed none of his thoughts. I grinned humorlessly. "That's what I'm afraid of." It came out sounding like a dry joke, but I meant it more than I wanted to admit. I was afraid of confronting Daria and having to face the sharp edge of my choices. In my heart, I knew she would never have found out the truth from a gang of shouting rebels. What if that had been me, finding out about Stas? The truth was, Daria had brought me home believing I could make a difference, and I had betrayed her. I swallowed hard, tears gathering at the corners of my eyes. On the other side of the chamber, Colvin had his eyes on the closed door. I clenched my teeth, holding in the deep well of sorrow threatening to spill over. He didn't need to know how miserable I was, how much I was hurting. I had enough pride not to break down while he could still see me. He cleared his throat.
"Get some rest." A pause. "I'll be right outside."
With that, he opened the door just wide enough to step across the threshold and out of my line of sight.
"Okay."
The word was hardly more than a whisper, and my voice cracked on the single syllable. I kept my composure as long as it took for the door to ease shut, and then I fell forward onto the bedspread, burying my face in one of the lush pillows. The tears finally flowed so hard and fast that I thought I might suffocate or puke. It was like losing Stas all over again, like that first morning waking up an emotional orphan. I rode out the storm as unobtrusively as I could. When it passed, I lay curled on the quilt, hugging a pillow to my chest and feeling like I'd just run 10 marathons back to back. My eyes and throat burned from crying. My lungs ached. Even my ribs were sore. I took a deep breath, held it, let it out. One last sob leapt from my throat. I clamped the hand over my mouth.
"That's enough," I said out loud,
hoping to speak stability into existence. My voice was a hoarse, uninspiring croak. Releasing the pillow, I pulled myself up into a sitting position, finger combing the worst of the tangles from my hair. If only Theo and his people could see me now. Puffy-eyed and suffering, shakily pouring a glass of water from the crystal carafe by the bed. They would annul the engagement faster than either Theo or I could say, "I don't." I laughed emptily. Never had I imagined that the plummet from grace would be so fast or so far. That shining hope I'd felt on Mount Despair, holding the ancient sword in my hands for the first time, was all but snuffed out as the cool water hit my raw throat. From the outside in, it would be hard as heck to convince anyone that the last Cavalon wasn't a fraud at worst, or, at best, totally ill-suited for the job. I sat back against the headboard, resting the glass in my lap and staring blankly at the quilt under my legs. Maybe it was time to admit my failures, call this whole thing a wash and catch the next flight back to Earth. I had tried. I'd done my best. And it obviously wasn't good enough. But despite the depths of my misery, a tiny spark remained that wasn't ready to give up. Though the voice had dimmed to a barely audible murmur, it still urged me to get back on my feet and fight with every last ounce of strength in my body. The fact that House Cavalon had fallen on hard times was no secret. I'd come into power at a very uncertain time, and yet this little undaunted sliver of my spirit felt beholden to the memories lost to magic and time. I was a Cavalon, after all. Did I not owe it to my family, to my bloodline, to my people, to fight for all I was worth? Everyone was rooted deeply in my soul, whether I liked it or not. It would have been astoundingly naive to assume I'd be able to leave it behind. As my sadness gave way to overwhelming fatigue, a thought followed me all the way down into the soft blackness of sleep. You can't run from who you are.
Chapter 2. At first, I didn't know where I was, or even who I was. Shadowy silhouettes swirled around me, the darkness peered by the sound of voices. A man and a woman, not too far away, talking together and sharing a laugh. I crouched in the dark, listening without hearing words, comforted by the familiarity in their tones. Suddenly, a cohesive phrase leapt from the quiet murmur of conversation.
"Well, don't keep her waiting, darling. You know how antsy she can get."
The man laughed.
"Oh, I'm just waiting for her to come bursting out of nowhere, asking why I'm taking so long."
His response made me smile automatically. That had to be